From Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome in to the Wednesday edition of The Drive. Yep, still... With Memorial Day, still trying to get used to how we've got everything. We've moved some things around. One thing we have not, and we're glad to have Jason Caldwell in with us as usual from Auburn Undercover here on the Wednesday edition of The Drive. JC, how's it going?
Good. Is there anything to talk about today?
Let's see. Yeah,
a couple of news items and plenty to talk about today.
Absolutely, and we're gonna get into some baseball as well, as we're also about to check in with the voice of the Tigers, Andy Burcham. Andy, usually with us on Tuesdays, he had a staff meeting yesterday, so he will be joining us here momentarily. But let's go ahead and hit the big news, then we'll get in with Andy, and we'll preview the Auburn Regional. But double shot of news today. The first news was the addition of an inside player that Auburn had been looking to add. And Bruce Pearl had said that, you know, that Auburn was close to adding an international big, and they indeed did.
Yeah, Filip Jovic, the guy that we've been hearing about for a little while, Serbian forward, and really interesting because, you know, you look at him probably 6'9", 215, uh-huh, something like that. I think he's going to be a
he's athletic.
I think he's a big three. He could be a big two. I think mm-hmm. I don't know that he's a four or five, but you could play a lot of different ways with this lineup.
Well, you really could.
And so I think, yeah, you look at the possibilities now for this team. And one thing we've been talking about a little bit, I don't think there's any question now. You're going to see a much faster tempo Auburn team with the pieces for the – there's not going to be a whole lot of back to the basket playing with this offense, I don't believe.
I don't think you'll see as much of that. But the key piece, the most important piece, I almost said biggest, but he's not the biggest, but the most important piece was added back into the puzzle about an hour and a half later when Tahad Pettiford withdrew from the NBA draft.
No, it was, yeah, you know, there was an old wrestler called the Missing Link. There's no question that it was the piece you had to have, in my opinion. When you start talking about Auburn basketball for 25-26, all the things that you have, the linchpin of that was Tahad Pettiford.
It's going to be Tahad's team. Yeah. I mean, there's just no way of getting around that.
Yeah, welcome to Tahadapalooza. You know what I mean? Like, that's this season. Like, last year you had sort of Auburn's version of the Last Dance with some guys that you knew were playing the end of their college basketball careers, and they had their eyes on the biggest prizes possible. This year, I mean, I think the team still wants to be the best team in the SEC and maybe even more than that, but it's more about even with Jani Broome being a National Player of the Year candidate, I feel like you knew more about his supporting cast this year, because everyone else is new to the team. It feels like it's the Tahad Pettiford, like it's the show. It's the moment for him, in a way that even last year, as big as he was in so many big moments, it feels like the onus is on him more than ever before. And they've built a really interesting team around him to maybe showcase his abilities.
Oh, I don't think there's any question about it. Yes, the thought that a 19-year-old finishing up his freshman year in college is your experienced guy. He's the only experienced player at Auburn that will be returning. Let's get to the Drive Hotline. Welcome in the voice of the Tigers, who usually joins us on Tuesdays on a big news day as we head toward a big weekend. Andy Burcham joining us here on the Drive with Bill, Dan, and Jason. Andy, how you doing?
My only question right now is, because my wife is in Minneapolis at a conference, do I just spend the night in the booth Thursday night before that regional on Friday? That's my big question right now. That's how excited I am
to be
at home for a regional this weekend.
A home for a regional in this facility now that's going to be packed and going to be setting more records this weekend as far as attendance is concerned.
Well, tickets have, I mean, they've flown off the shelves, so to speak. Not only reserve tickets, but general admission tickets and parking passes for the weekend as well. A reminder that if you typically park in the arena lot or in the Coliseum lot, as we all do, those are now paid parking lots.
Right.
For this weekend, and I would assume for the Super Regional next weekend, if Auburn is hosting next weekend, but we'll get there. Hopefully, we will. Next weekend. So just keep that in mind. I think there are still some parking passes available. They're $90 for the weekend. That gets you access to up to all 4 days if it goes that far of this regional this weekend. Objects.com is where you go.
This is an Auburn team that was picked 12th in the preseason in the conference by the SEC coaches. They find themselves as the number four team nationally in the college baseball postseason. Andy, what can you say about the way and the reasons why this team has so dramatically exceeded its preseason expectations?
I don't think anyone that made those preseason prognostications, including the coaches in this league to a certain degree, expected what this freshman class and this class of newcomers would do at Auburn. The Chris Rembert, Chase Frelick, Eric Guevara really is in his first full year, although he is just a sophomore. Bub Terrell, Cade Ballou in his sophomore year. And then what Christian Chatterton has done in his first season at Auburn, what...
Throw Sam Dutton in there too.
Yeah, Sam Dutton in his first year, Ryan Hetzler in his first year, Cam Tilley in his first year as a starter. And I don't think those players were taken into account at Eric Snow and Lucas Steele. These are all the newcomers on this ball. I just don't think that many took into account what these players meant to this team. Yeah, we knew about Ike Irish, and Ike Irish maybe should have been the player of the year in the Southeastern Conference. He put up those kind of numbers. And especially on the road in the SEC, his numbers were mind-boggling. Cooper McMurray with a third straight season of double-digit home runs, joining the likes of Josh Etheridge and Hunter Morris and Brian Fletcher with the Auburn Ball Club. And then you have all of that. And Eric Guevara in his, second year. At all of that together. And I just don't think a lot of people took into account what Auburn had and what this freshman class would mean, what this class of newcomers would mean to this team. And I'm not sure Auburn knew exactly. Yeah. Auburn knew it had a fabulous recruiting class coming in, but you never know what newcomers are going to do. And this group of newcomers has been spectacular for Auburn this season.
Yeah, I think it shows.
So much so that it's a national number four seed getting ready to host a regional.
Yeah, I think it shows exactly, though. You look at Texas A&M, and you go, you don't really, because of the transfer portal, because of all the things now that happen with rosters, you don't really know what people have talked about, like basketball, because we were just talking about the news of Jovich and Tahad coming back, and you go, basketball roster, and you go, well, that team could win a national championship. They might struggle to get the NCAA tournament. It could be anywhere in between. You just because you don't know how the pieces fit together. And you're right, the freshmen and Dutton, those guys all have added to that solid nucleus of guys, and they've given this team some firepower, and that's been a big difference for them.
Let me give you another tie between this basketball team from this past year for Auburn and this baseball team with regard to Tahad Pettiford. And you look at what Tahad Pettiford did for Auburn this season, and I'm thrilled that he's back. I enjoy calling his games. I enjoy getting to talk to him. He's a delightful young man to be around and to talk to. and an incredible basketball talent. We know that. But how many big games did Tejada have on the road for Auburn this season? Against Houston, in Houston, mm-hmm. at Texas, at Georgia, in the NCAA tournament, in the Michigan State game. I mean, those are all away from Neville Arena. I liken what he did this season for Auburn. And Auburn, and he was the one freshman that contributed game in and game out for Auburn to what Chris Rembert has done this year on the baseball team. I mean, what he did, especially in the second half of the season for Auburn as a true freshman. And listen, we got a glimpse of it from Chris in the fall, that doubleheader against Florida State in his hometown of Pensacola. He was the offensive star that day. But still, he's a freshman. I mean, he's a freshman, for goodness sakes. And what he has done, and he could have, maybe should have been, the SEC Freshman of the Year. And I'm not taking anything away from the two young men that were named the SEC Player of the Year and the SEC Freshman of the Year. Their numbers are fabulous, all right? But those two guys, Ike Irish could have been the SEC Player of the Year. Chris Rembert could have been the Freshman of the Year in the Southeastern Conference.
Oh, there's no question about that, Andy. I mean, they were excellent. I would say something else that, I mean, you look last year, how as disappointing as last year was, how many close games Auburn played and came up on the short end. I mean, you see so many teams that, you know, when things start going south a little bit, they'll lose those close games. That was not the case. They were able to get that turned around this year as well.
Now, it reminds me a little bit of the 2021 season as well. I mean, how many one-run games did Auburn lose that year? And they lost two of their best pitchers because of foot injuries that year, and their closer and their what the guy should have been their number one starter that year. And I think that's, and I don't know, JC, if you picked up on this being around Butch this season. There's not been a lot of smiles from Butch Thompson this year. Oh. And the reason I say that, I think he has really, there's been no sitting back and taking in what has been a terrific season thus far for Auburn. And I think it's part of because what Auburn went through a year ago.
Yeah.
And there, you know, Auburn got off to a pretty good start a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
And then got to the Southeastern Conference and it got real for Auburn at that point. And he has really, I don't know the best way, as I observe it, he has really stayed on this ball club. And I think that's in part because of what that team went through and those close losses a year ago.
I think you can almost go 2 years from today, almost. I think you can go back to the end of 2022 or end of 2023 and losing a regional here.
Yeah.
I think you can carry it back.
And then going through that entire season.
Yes, I think
last
you can
year,
carry it all right. almost 2 years to the day and going, look, that has something that is still bothering Ike Irish and Cooper McMurray and these guys.
And Butch Thompson.
And Butch Thompson, you can tell it.
Yeah, you're right, Andy. I mean, Butch usually, I mean, he's always a positive guy. He's always been finding the positive in everything, but there's been a little more edge this year, and I think it is because of that and because of the talent that he saw out there when these guys all got in, which was unbelievable last year, when they all got in and started going through workouts. I think, you know, he knew that this team's going to be a lot better than some people realize, but they need to know that's the expectation too. It's not just going to be, okay, that's good effort, we'll get them next time kind of thing.
I don't think Butch really cares about what other people think about his ball club.
Right.
So I doubt that the number 12 preseason projection for this Auburn team in the SEC really, I don't think it affected Butch one way or the other. But I also don't think he's wanted this ball club, even in its success, to rest on its laurels, so to speak,
mm-hmm.
because there's so much more to play for this Auburn team. And I think that's a great point that you both made. It really starts with Auburn going 2-barbecue in the NCAA tournament that Auburn hosted in 2023, losing to Penn and losing to Southern Miss, and watching Southern Miss and Penn then play for that regional championship on Auburn's ballpark. Yeah. That will stick with you.
Yeah,
it will. And
it sticks with me. I hated walking out of that ballpark after that loss to Penn and to Southern Miss, and knowing that that season was over. I think that's a great point about how this last 2 years now for Auburn, it's starting 2 years ago today, what that has meant to the head coach, what it has meant to this team as it gets ready now to host its third regional in 4 years. And let's not forget the historic value for this Auburn ball club. I mean, even those two losses against Penn and Southern Miss 2 years ago, that's the first time Auburn had ever hosted in back-to-back years. And this year, first time Auburn's ever hosted 3 out of 4 years, and just the second time that Auburn has ever been a national seed. 2003 was the only other time that was, and Auburn was a number 4 seed going into that, as it is going into the tournament this Friday.
Talking with the voice of the Tigers, Andy Burcham, Jason Caldwell from Auburn Undercover here in the studio, along with Bill and Dan, Drew at the controls. We need to get to our first break. I know that Andy has spent a lot of time on Auburn's opponents as well as Jason, so we'll get scouting reports and more when we come back here on the Wednesday Drive.
The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck and 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email us at thedrive@ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the Wednesday edition of The Drive. Bill, Dan, Jason Caldwell from Auburn Undercover here in the studio, and we have the voice of the Auburn Tigers, Andy Burcham, on the Drive hotline with us, normally with us on Tuesdays, but since Monday was Memorial Day, meetings that were scheduled for Monday got pushed back to yesterday, so we're glad to have Andy with us here just a couple of days away from Auburn hosting its regional and the opponent Friday night, Central Connecticut State. Andy, what do you know about them? First of all, I don't know their nickname.
They're the Blue Devils.
Blue Devils, yes.
Okay.
Yes. JC, I'll take pitching. You take offense. How about that?
All right, sounds good.
31-15 on the season. They went 23-7 in the Northeast Conference. Won the Northeast Conference Championship. It's a one-bid league. Won 3 of their 4 games and came back to win a winner-take-all game. Here's I'm almost positive that we'll see their number one starter in Vincent Borghese. 6'2", a right-hander, 10-2 on the season in his 14 starts, 4.22 ERA. That includes 6 complete games. I think most of those were probably 7-inning games, but he routinely goes 6-7 innings. So this is a guy that has some stamina. And let me take that one step further. He started the first game for Central Connecticut State, the first game in the Northeast Conference Tournament, and started the final game a couple days later in the Northeast Conference Tournament. In the opener, he went 6 1/3 innings in a win, and in the final game, he went 7 1/3 innings. Think about that. 2 different outings in the Northeast Conference Tournament, and he started the first game of the tournament and the championship game of the tournament. He's did very, very good numbers on the season. Their closer is Wyatt Cameron, who has 6 saves this season. Cameron was named the MVP of the Northeast Conference Tournament and pitched in all 4 games. All 4 days, their closer pitched in the Northeast Conference Tournament. So,
he's got a rubber
Auburn,
arm.
That's who Auburn's going to face in Game 1 Friday night at 6 o'clock. Now, who Auburn starts? I don't think that's been announced yet.
Yeah, that's
probably tomorrow. I would think we'll find out from Butch Thompson at his press conference after his practice tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Auburn's practice tomorrow, but you can bet that we'll see Vincent Borghese, their opener, their stud starter at 10-2 with a 4.22 earned run average, going today or going on Friday for Central Connecticut State. The head coach is Charlie Hickey. They've been to the NCAA tournament 9 times. He's been the head coach for all 9 appearances, and he has 800 wins. A former head coach at Providence College, and then moved over to Central Connecticut State, where he is the winningest coach in Blue Devils history. So there's a bit of a scout from the pitching perspective of what Auburn will see on Friday night.
Yeah, offensively, 330 team batting average.
Yeah, I was going to say their numbers
are really good.
They win with their offense.
The question is that I think St. John's is the largest program they have faced this season. They have not faced a Power Four team
right
this year.
It's a bit of an upset that they're in the tournament. Most of the projections I saw had LIU, who they beat in the final.
Yes,
from that conference,
three really close games in their down the stretch there. Won 8-6, lost 8-7, and won 6-5.
So. I know the women's basketball coach at LIU, so I was rooting for the Sharks.
Yep.
In transparency there, but instead it's going to be Central Connecticut.
It's a team
coming
that,
down and
yeah, they can swing the bat.
Well, they got one guy in particular.
Yeah,
right?
One guy that can really do it, but not a ton of power. 36 home runs for them. They do have 60 some odd stolen bases. But yes, where you start with them, Aiden Redahan. Is .458 batting average. He has been just pretty remarkable. There's a couple of stats.
Of course, when you hit .450, you're not going to strike out.
Yeah, there's a couple of stats that are really wild for him when you start looking at it. You guys struck out 11 times this year and over 200 at bats. That's pretty remarkable. They got another guy that's
how much? What's his grade? Like what's his class? Like, how much eligibility?
He's a senior.
Does he have? Okay, I was gonna say because a guy. You know, maybe a player like that with some years left could cash in on the postseason.
He may be a senior with three more years left nowadays. You never know.
That's true. But I mean, every year now you see guys from smaller schools in regionals that are at bigger schools the next year.
Absolutely. But yeah, he's .458, 9 home runs, 17 doubles. So he's been really good. Got a couple of guys that have swung the bat pretty well too. Jackson Haker is another guy, .302, 7 home runs, only played in 32 games. And then Chris Brown, .335 with 17 doubles. So they got some guys that can swing the bat. You don't know how it translates. Mm-hmm. What you know is, and we talked to Ike, and he's like, look, I'm telling you, he said, and we've seen it in regionals year after year after year, those teams from the Northeast are going to be gritty. They're going to play really hard. And for Auburn, you just have to match the energy. Because if you match the energy, you're more talented than they are.
Yeah, you can't be thinking about whoever wins the NC State Stetson game.
And that's where I think you go back to what we talked about earlier. I think this is a team that will come out.
They've been focused pretty
ready
darn well.
Ready to play. And so that's kind of the starting point. Because you always look at that first team and then look at the other two teams. And that is really interesting
matchup. That ought to be a really good ball game. The first game Friday, NC State and Stetson.
1 o'clock, Stetson.
Stetson throw their ace?
I don't think there's any question.
You're not facing the one seed, you got to win.
Do you think in every 2-3 matchup, you just got to throw the ace and treat it like the whole tournament's on the line?
You can't lose. Yep. You lose that one, I mean, it's really tough.
Yep.
You got to win 4 straight if you lose.
Yep, Andy, what do you think about that first game?
I think it's been a great game. I can't wait to watch it. I can't wait to watch. Listen, Stetson's back-to-back 40-win years, and that's a team that you see in the NCAA tournament.
Yep.
North Carolina State, Elliott Abant, when Auburn was the last time that Auburn hosted a regional as the number 4 seed was 2003. Elliott Abant was the head coach at North Carolina State. When Auburn went to North Carolina State and won the regional in 2018, Elliott Abant was the head coach, and Scott Foxhall was his pitching coach at that point. So he's been there forever. They're a team that's in the tournament almost every year for North Carolina State. I look forward to watching.
Yeah, College World Series last year.
Yeah. Here's one thing. That back to Central Connecticut State that kind of jumps off the page. And Brad Law picked up on this when he was looking at notes in the office. They have 271 walks this season. Let me compare that for Auburn. As a team, Auburn has 260. This team has more walks than does Auburn this season. I mean, they're going to work the count. They will work the count. They will take the walk to get guys on base. So I think that's something you got to look at. So 271 walks on this season for this Central Connecticut State team. Auburn needs to throw strikes. And that has been a mantra for Butch Thompson since from day one. Heck, for fall ball.
Yeah.
that has been a mantra for his pitching staff.
Yep.
That 65% strike rate for this Auburn team. He talks about it all the time in post-game interviews with us, JC, with you guys as well. And I think that's really, really important for Auburn on Friday night against Central Connecticut State. I think that gives Central Connecticut State a chance if Auburn's not throwing strikes on Friday night. I know that's not an incredibly insightful thing, but this Central Connecticut State team can take advantage of free base runners.
It'll be really interesting, Andy. Now, as we were talking, I mean, don't know. They haven't played the power schools. I doubt they've played in an atmosphere the way it's going to be Friday night as well.
There's no doubt. I would guess they're probably one of their biggest crowds this year are probably 400 or 500 folks.
Right.
Yeah, they'll definitely.
I'm not sure Auburn has played in front of a crowd like this at a home game in an NCAA tournament.
No, they haven't.
Well, yeah, no, they won't. I mean, you would have seen, obviously the LSU series, Mississippi State, some of those right. Where you had some big crowds this year. You would have seen that. Yeah, it'll be a little bit more amped up.
Oh, absolutely.
Especially if you can get to Saturday night where it might be. If you get to Saturday night,
it's 8 o'clock
start Saturday night, get people oiled up a little bit and have the good weather on Saturday. Yeah, obviously they're not looking ahead, but if you can get there, then you're talking about what could be a crazy, crazy situation if you can get through game one.
They are adding additional seating above the Tiger Terrace, on top of the War Eagle Wall, and out in the back 40 out in right center to accommodate. And those are all general admission seats.
Yep.
For this game this weekend. So, we will see record-breaking crowds, hopefully all weekend long, cheering for the Tigers this weekend.
Hopefully three times.
Yes.
Yep.
Three would be well. Yeah.
Well, and remember this. I mean, what's most present in our mind for Auburn in a regional is 2 years ago and losing those two ball games. To that point, though. Butch Thompson's ball clubs were 9-0 in the last three regionals.
Correct.
Undefeated at North Carolina State in 18, undefeated at Georgia Tech in 19, and undefeated at Auburn
in 22.
In 22.
Yep.
In those regionals. So there is history for Auburn to play extraordinarily well in regionals, and it's not that far. That's not that far distant past either.
Yeah, so looking forward to it. Hopefully, I mean, if we've got more rain, it's out of here in time for all the baseball to get started Friday afternoon.
We'll be there.
Andy's going to be camping out. So if you're over there, and Andy will be ready. Can't wait for it. Neither can anybody. I mean, this is really exciting. Andy, can we keep you a few more minutes?
Yeah.
All right, I tell you what we're going to do. Let's go ahead. We will extend this break here a little longer so we can get Andy's thoughts on basketball. Then we'll get to our bottom of the hour, and we'll have a few more minutes with Jason. So let's, instead of getting to break, we'll push the break back. Is that all right, guys?
Sounds good to me.
I mean, all right, yeah.
I mean, it's all right with Drew. Drew's running the board. All right, yeah. So, I mean, obviously, Andy, I mean, we were excited, been talking about baseball, but as we were coming on, obviously, big news today, couple of pieces of big news basketball-wise. The top story, obviously, the return of Tahad Pettiford, and then the addition of – now, we're guessing, I haven't heard, is it like Philippe Jovic? Or is it Philip? Do you know yet,
Bill? I'm guessing that it's Philippe. I watched some of his highlights on YouTube, and the broadcasters call him Jovic.
Yes.
So I think it's Jovic. My guess is it's Philippe. We'll find out.
Yeah, in the South, he could be Philip Jovic, though, yeah. Right?
Right. whatever he wants, I don't care.
Correct.
Whatever he wants to be called. Auburn gets a versatile. Big at 6'9", 225 pounds that comes in. I mean, we've been told by Bruce and by Stephen Pearl that Auburn was, waiting on a big, on an international big out of Serbia. And this is the guy, and this is the day. And then it wasn't that long after that Tahad Pettiford made it official that he's coming back to Auburn. And Bruce Pearl said all along that if Tahad could get a guarantee that he was going to be a first-round draft pick, he should stay in the draft. And I'm guessing that did not come for Tahad. And I'm thrilled that he's going to be back with Auburn this season. And it is hard not to say that this is the Hodge team now moving forward as a true sophomore at Auburn. And one of the reasons is he's the only player back from Auburn's Final Four team of a year ago. So this summer, I think, guys, is the most important summer that Auburn's ever had under Bruce Pearl. And the reason I say that is this summer is a culture-building summer with so many new players that are coming in. And this is an important summer, I think, for this coaching staff, for Tahad as the lone guy back. Bruce has said this a number of times. A year ago, Auburn had the luxury of 10 seniors, 8 of which played almost every game for Auburn a year ago. And the new guys that were in, those new players that played so very well for Auburn a year ago, when they had a question, Bruce Pearl could say, go to this veteran and do what he does. Well, this time, there's one guy, and it's Tahad. Now, Tahad studied under some pretty good upperclassmen, and he seemed to have a rather unique relationship with Jani Broom, which was one of the odd relationships on this ball club. One freshman, one senior, one point guard, one center. And yet those guys seem to really connect. And I'm hoping that and I think he has, that Tahad has learned from guys like Jani Broom and Dylan Cardwell and Miles Kelly, even though it was 1 year, and Denver Jones, who was with Auburn for a couple years, and Cheney Johnson, and Chad Baker Mazzara. As well. So I just think this summer is vitally important for this Auburn team because those guys will all be here. They're going to all get to know each other. They're going to all get to know what it is like to play basketball at Auburn. And I just think that this summer is as important a summer as Auburn's had in a long, long time because this is such a brand new ball club with an immense amount of talent, And it is bolstered by one of the best freshmen we saw in college basketball last year in Tahad Cutterford.
In a conference, Andy, where very few of the best players from last year are coming back. I mean, Tahad was one of the only freshmen in a rotation for a championship contender in the SEC last year. I think Tahad and Filon were probably the only freshmen contributing among the best teams in the SEC last season, and very few of the first team and the second team and the all freshman team are slated to come back. And so having a player like Tahad in a year where the SEC feels wide open, I think there's a real case to be made for Tahad as the preseason conference player of the year. I think he's certainly on the short list in a season because things feel so new compared to last year.
When Jabari Smith was here in a year that we knew it was a one and done for Jabari, I mean that was a foregone conclusion. I don't know how many times I would say during a broadcast, folks, enjoy this young man in an Auburn uniform while you can. Well, I'm going to be saying that about Tahad Pettiford in his sophomore season. Because if we're talking about Tahad at this time of year, next year, coming back for another season, I'll be shocked.
Oh, you won't be the only one. No.
Yeah, he was very, very close to being a guaranteed first-round draft pick as a freshman. And with the talent that he has, and there's just, guys, you saw it, there's just something about this young man. The situation, the game, the setting, nothing was too big for Tahad Pettiford. And I know that he was a McDonald's All-American, and great things were expected from Tahad, but you can't take that for granted, what he did for Auburn. And those games that he had for Auburn, away from Neville Arena, to me, just they were spectacular. And now, and Bruce Pearl talked about this last week up at Wicker Point, that he takes on an expanded role. And I'll be fascinated to see, does that include more of a shooting guard role? Does that include more of a leadership role, or maybe a little bit of both as he gets ready to come back at Auburn?
Yeah, no question. It is really exciting. I mean, so many new faces, but you're right, Andy. I mean, a tremendous amount of talent that Bruce and his staff will try to put together, and they have been fabulous over the years of finding and identifying parts that are going to fit. They have more parts, a bigger puzzle to put together, but it could be it's really going to be exciting to look at. Fun times. I mean, so much with the baseball this weekend, basketball. Hey, we're getting closer. Man, SEC meetings are winding down, and football's rapidly approaching as well. So an awful lot going on. What's going on in the world of the network other than the baseball broadcasts?
Talking Tigers podcast this week is with Butch Thompson and three members of this Auburn team. Talked with them on Selection Day on Monday. Cooper McMurray, Parker Carlson, and Chase Fraley, who tells the story of going from one of the top tennis recruits in the country to being Auburn's everyday catcher as a true freshman. That's the Talking Tigers podcast this week. Guys, on the Talking Tigers podcast next week, this was one of the special interviews that I've ever been a part of, and we've aired this before. June 1 is the 5-year anniversary of the passing of Pat Dye.
Right.
And in 2018, he came into our studio here at the Auburn Sports Network with Rod Bramlett and I, and we talked with Coach Dye for almost an hour and a half about his childhood, coaching at Alabama, coming to Auburn, the 89 Iron Bowl, his days after Auburn. It was a fascinating time to sit down and talk with an absolute legend, not only in college football, but certainly here on this Auburn campus. And we're going to re-air that interview with the late Rod Bramlett and the late Pat Dye on Monday.
Wow,
in two
great
Mondays, and we're going to record this tomorrow. I can't wait to do this. Tucker Smith is a former Auburn student. He was part of Auburn's bass team. Bass fishing team at Auburn. And a couple weeks ago, he won on the Bass Elite Tour down at Fork Lake in Texas. His first Bass Master Championship, not the Bass Elite Tour Championship. They get these huge blue trophies with them that they're very, very cool. And so Tucker, I'm going to get to talk with. I talked with he and his partner, his fishing partner at Auburn, when they won a national college championship at Table Rock Lake. And Logan is part of that Bassmaster Tour as well. But Tucker has been very hot of late and won his first tournament, had a great final day to do that. So that's in a couple Mondays on the Talking Tigers podcast. But obviously everything gears up on Friday. We're on the air at 5:45 on the Auburn Sports Network, Auburn and Central Connecticut State, Brad Law and myself in the booth. I cannot wait. I tell this story many times. Rod Bramlett and I did games for 25 years, and there was no time of the year in all of his years of calling Auburn events that he enjoyed more than postseason in baseball, because that was the first sport that he got to do at Auburn. And there was some great success during Rod's time, and I've been fortunate enough to be around it now. Now my 31 years, and I'm like Rod. I just very much look forward. And there have been some postseasons of great grief and disappointment.
Oh yes, and highs and lows. Yes,
absolutely.
No question.
But I look forward to every bit of it. And it starts Friday, 1 o'clock with Stetson and North Carolina State. The Auburn game right now slated to begin at 6, and our coverage starts at 5:45 over on Wings 94.3. Cannot wait.
Yeah, no question. Looking forward to it, Andy, and you'll do a great job. We're all excited about it. We'll see you at the ballpark.
We'll see everybody at the ballpark, guys. Have a great day. War Eagle!
Voice of the Tigers, Andy Burcham, joining us here on the Wednesday edition of The Drive. We need to get to break. Stick with us. We appreciate it. Did you have a good Memorial Day, Jason?
Did. Yeah, it was good. Obviously had selection show and all those things going on, and so we had a chance to go to the pool and do a little bit that afternoon. So it's been nice, obviously school being out, kind of settling into that routine, and then obviously baseball routine here. official visits this weekend as well. So it's the second.
It's going to be a busy weekend.
The second big official visit weekend for Auburn football this weekend. Obviously, all this basketball stuff too, and baseball this weekend. So. Yeah, busy time.
Keeping you guys fairly busy. So who's got what all duties this weekend?
Obviously Christian, Nathan will help out some with football, and I'll try to get over there too Sunday. If Auburn can win the first 2 days and you don't play again till Sunday, then it'll probably give me a chance to get over there Sunday and help out and do a little bit of recruiting as well. And so I think 13 to 15 official visits once again for Auburn after having about that many 2 weeks ago. We were told between the start of it 2 weeks ago and when it goes dead on June 23rd that there would be 60-plus official visitors on campus before we ever get to the month of July. That's just the way. That's it, because this is when kids want to take official visits. And so if you say, hey, we want you to wait till the fall, then they'll visit somebody else, and
they may be committed somewhere
else. That's what I'm saying. They'll visit somewhere else, and they'll be committed before you ever get a chance to get a visit.
If you're not in the picture now, it's probably too late.
Correct. Right? You might – the one option of that one is if somebody comes on that maybe doesn't have the big offers yet, and in the fall – all of a sudden you go, whoa, that guy's a guy that we weren't sure if he was quite there. Now we are. That's a guy you can still get visits from. I think when you're talking about the elite guys that have all those big offers, it is now, it's go time for those guys here in the next month. I would say, and I said, I think 60-70% of the guys on your board will be committed before August 1st, in my opinion.
Yeah, July is the time that they want to be making their minds up before they start practice, before their senior season. So, yeah, it will be a busy time. In the meantime, you've got, all the new additions for football and basketball are here in town now.
Yeah, football, basketball, women's basketball. It's new roster time, and not as many for football. Most of those guys were already here. So there's a few guys that showed up. Obviously, the basketball roster, that's pretty much a complete overhaul. And so, like Andy said, it's for both men's and women's basketball, the next month and a half are going to be a really important time as you start to kind of try to build some chemistry, get a feel for who you got, who fits where. We had this conversation during the break, but one of the more intriguing things right now for Auburn basketball is projecting who will play where.
Yeah, who's where.
We don't have any idea. Other than, Todd Pettifer is going to be the one.
Yes.
Other than that, you don't really know. You think Keyshawn Murphy is probably the five because of your option. Anything in between, I can see. Because you do have guys that
can
play
multiple. You got a lot of guys that are multiple, 2, 3, 3, 4. Yeah.
Correct. You got a lot of guys that can play multiple positions.
You made a really good point about a player that doesn't get a ton of press who feels really important. I mean, I would say it's tough to project what this Auburn team's going to do based on this roster because you have so many new pieces. My guess would be Murphy, Hall, and Tahad feel like guys that are going to play a ton of minutes. Where, Tahad's a point guard. Murphy, like you said, seems like
Murphy's
a five.
In the front court.
Yeah, and then Hall.
Four more five.
Yeah, and with Hall, I mean, he could play the three, but you haven't seen a ton of guys playing both the three and the four for Bruce Pearl. Generally, you're one or the other, even if you have the athleticism to play both. Chaney or Jalen were guys that could potentially have played Isaac Okoro, but they generally stuck with one or the other. My guess is that's probably what's going to happen with both Freeman and Hall. But some of those new additions at the two and the three, like Freeman, like Overton, and like Bashir, there's a ton sort of hinging on how those guys take the SEC.
Yeah, questions. You go like that's why I said I think Kevin Overton is a guy that maybe gets the least amount of talk of any of these guys, and I think maybe as important.
He has the least flashy numbers.
And the other part is too who. Cade Magwood, you go, okay, you think that's your backup point guard. Which one of these other guys is going to get some time?
Somebody else
at the point?
Has got to run.
Correct.
A little
bit. Could it be Simon Walker? But then you go, then it's another freshman.
Could it be
Kevin Overton's the only other?
Can Bashir have the ball in the half court?
I don't know. That's my thing is like there are some of those questions because you would like to find three guys that you feel like if we need them in a crunch, there's three guys that could play the point. Because you never know, if you get an injury, then that guy becomes your two, and you got to have a second. Can Overton have some of that in his background? Can he do some things? Again, Simon Walker, could he do it? I think that's it. But I think Overton physically, the bigger body, can he be that elite physical defender at the two that they've done a pretty good job with when they've had that guy? Because Bashir's going to be a longer Chad Baker Mazzara type defender. Do you have that other physical guy? I think Overton is a guy that can do some of those things.
And between the Serbian and Sebastian and Emeka, I would say you've got three guys who probably have to give you, and it's three guys that are each making a pretty big jump to college basketball.
Yeah,
but I'd say you'd need 15 to 20 minutes from those guys combined.
That's not
maybe
unbelievable.
It's not unbelievable. It's not unbelievable.
But 15, 20 minutes at the five, maybe not at the five. But Keyshawn Murphy's a guy that averaged 24.
For sure.
You got to have 10 minutes at the five, probably.
Yeah.
And that's with no foul trouble.
That's right. That's if Keyshawn's able to go 30.
So can Emeka Opurim, can he get physically strong enough to get ready to do that? These next couple of months are going to be big. I think he needs to gain 10, 12 pounds. It's going to be hard. He's not going to gain 35 pounds between now and then. But you look
if
at
he does,
guys,
it's probably trouble.
Yeah. Sebastian Williams Adams is physically,
I think we can all
but he's a fresh Jovic. You watch Jovic, and he has the European look a little bit, but he reminds me a lot of watching guys that play at St. Mary's.
Okay,
because he will put his back to the basket, and he will do some of those things,
old school post moves.
And so he has some of that. He can put the ball on the floor. He can shoot it. Reminds me of a St. Mary's big, and I kind of like that. Because he is a guy that can do some things, especially when you have Tahad and some of these other guys. I think he's a really interesting addition to this group. And, you know, rebound enough, physical enough. That's my thing is, do you have another guy that can play the post defense? Because that's still the question for me is, you don't have Dylan Cardwell and Broom, the bigger body guys. Keyshawn Murphy's more – now, he played inside last year, but he's a guard at heart. Can he be a guy that says, okay, now Broom did it. Broom was a guard at heart when he was growing up. Keyshawn Murphy's kind of the same way. If he can take that step, he's a more athletic guy. He's more athletic than Jani Broom. Now, he doesn't have the post moves, but he's a more athletic version of what you had with Jani Broom. Can he become that guy consistently 30 minutes a game? That'll be the question, but he is a guy that gives you something for sure.
Yeah, it is. It is really intriguing. I mean, I think everybody is excited about so many different pieces, but man, it's going to take a little while to go, who are all these guys, and you know, how are they going to play together?
I think it's going to be fun to watch and to see how things happen. So a lot going on with that. It's been the show stealer today. That you're here talking. Hey, that's a good thing. I mean, May 28th, you got a baseball regional, football right around the corner, big recruiting weekend, and basketball is the center of attention, and rightfully so.
And some interesting things coming out of Destin too. About it's a lot of posturing right now, and it feels like it's a lot of public. I'm negotiating.
I'm glad you brought it up because I know I'm short on my time, but this talk of, and I don't know why it's happening, but the thought that, well, you have to guarantee the SEC or the Big Ten four spots, to me is absolutely ludicrous. I don't care who it is. Yep. Earn it. I don't care what it is. Earn your spot.
I think it's fascinating that the coaches
don't seem to be. It's
the
like coaches the
like the coaches are. Seem to like the idea of taking five conference champions and then the next best the next best 11 teams.
I mean, like, but
ADs
exactly.
want guaranteed spots, and the reason is because if you guarantee the SEC spots, then you can turn conference championship weekend
into play-in game weekend and have
four SEC championship games in different places for your broadcast networks.
Correct.
I don't think that's worth compromising.
But once again, we've kind of fought all along going, hey, you just you get actually, you know, thoughts on, you know, hey, we'll give everybody – this is a give everybody a trophy moment from me. Go earn it. There's plenty of spots. If you're in the SEC and you're good enough, you'll get in. I just You don't ever know. You never know what's happening.
Some of these coaches don't want to lose their spot.
And when Jason gets a chance, he'll write a column about it.
Absolutely. Yes.
I'm looking forward to it.
Once I get down the road here.
I know. JC, let everybody know. I mean, again, it is a busy, busy time, but a lot to follow there.
It is. Absolutely. Baseball coming up this weekend. We'll have thoughts from tomorrow. Have that. Basketball. Nathan's done a great job. If you haven't checked it out, his breakdown of the roster, really good. Football recruiting this weekend as well. So have all that. So come check us out. A lot of fun.
All right, JC. See you at the ballpark.
Absolutely.
All right. That is hour number one. We're back with the second hour of the show.
ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome in. Hour number two of the Wednesday Drive. Bill and Dan with Drew at the controls. As we're kicking back.
Solidarity.
Well, I got a reason to do that. Fun hour number one. One of the reasons is because it is a fun day for Auburn sports fans, especially basketball fans. Big, big news today. And I mean big and big news. The biggest news involves perhaps the shortest member of the Auburn basketball team, but that is Tahad Pettiford, who withdrew from the NBA draft and is returning to Auburn for his sophomore year.
Yeah, I mean, it's not it's reminiscent of the decision Jani Broome made the last couple of years. He pushed it up to the deadline as well before returning to Auburn. And Tahad Pettiford, I think because without him, you're looking at an entirely new roster. And
you have a huge question mark at point
guard. And a huge absence at point guard, you know, based on the current makeup of the roster. And the thought that Tahad can continue to build on a spectacular first season. I mean, this was a guy who immediately put everyone on notice as to what he could do in that Houston game when he was the youngest guy on the court and the smallest guy on the court and still was making a huge impact on the was still making a huge impact like this. I mean, after at that spectacular first season that Tahad had, it was it's great to see what he can maybe do in his second season.
You think of the improvements generally. I mean, that's one of the age old just for years. You feel like the biggest improvement a player makes you generally in college is from year one to year two. Tahad, the potential is there. Now the opportunity is going to be there. We talked about it and we have said it a few times. It's going to be Tahad's team. It's Tahad's show this year to run. And he has a very interesting cast around him, which the cast had an addition today as well. An addition from overseas, a Serbian big. Now, we don't know exactly what position he is going to play.
I'm going Filip Jovic.
I like Filip Jovic.
Yeah, I'm going Filip Jovic here. And he's, Serbian, who looks like he joins the front court. Also just sort of based on need.
Yes.
Right? It feels like he joins the front court. Is that the four? Is that the five? How much difference is there between the four and the five?
He's a 6'9", 215, 220 guy.
Yeah, in this offense and with this team, you know, can they sort of ask guys to play both positions? But you know, as it stands right now, you've got the Keyshawns, Keyshawn Murphy, right, the Mississippi State transfer, Keyshawn Hall, the UCF transfer. You've got Mecca Poro, who's the junior college, the incoming junior college center. You've added Sebastian Williams Adams after, and he's the true freshman,
right?
That looks like, and I know some people who think he's got.
He is a guy that in years past, 5 or 6 years ago, he would have been one of Auburn's most highly sought after, highly touted incoming players, and you would have been thinking, man, he's got to get a lot of minutes this year.
It feels so open. Now you add Jovic to that
right,
group, and so I think between Jovic and Sebastian and Emeka, it's going to be, there's going to be a competition to be that third guy up. Right, like who's the fact that one of them's an international freshman, one of them's a domestic freshman, and one of them is a junior college player.
Yeah, I was looking at the 10 players. There are four transfers, three high school, two junior college, and one international. 4-3-2-1
Sure.
There are your 10 and one of the, new players.
And one of the transfers is a D2 transfer,
yeah,
making the jump, which is sort of comparable to junior college. But you have Freeman, who folks are really excited about what he could possibly do in his first year at Auburn. But it's another, like, that's another guy where I think making the jump to the SEC is just, we've seen some guys really take to it, mm-hmm, but usually if you're coming up from a level lower than mid-major D1, right? Like, it's one thing to make the jump from mid-major D1 basketball to the SEC. We've seen guys, I mean, you think about Dalton Connect or Jani Broome, right? Like, some guys who showed up in Mark Sears, guys who showed, yeah, up from the mid-major level in year one, Walter Clayton, like, and immediately, like, really took to it. If you're coming from a level lower than D1 straight to the SEC, you think about Chaney, right? Like, it takes a little bit of time. Chad was different because Chad had experience.
Chad had been at the bigger,
yeah, Chad had been
higher level.
Chad had been in the
NCAA, up and down.
He'd been in the NCAA tournament at San Diego State. So, I mean, it's like, this is a guy who, yeah, I mean, the SEC was a new thing, but it wasn't, it, you know, it wasn't the speed and the overall quality of play, I don't think, was all that new to Chad Baker-Mazzara. Auburn has a team of guys who, like Andy said, this summer is tremendously important. Mm-hmm. Getting them ready to go and seeing how Tahad takes to a leadership role. You know, Tahad and Jani were very close this past season. Jani was, you know, the de facto leader of this year's team, and I would think that Tahad has a chance to step into that role. And, you know, General Pettiford, you know, for this group and lead the charge. But it's going to be these next couple of months, you know, getting this team ready to go in what feels like a wide open SEC is going to be a really, really interesting challenge for Bruce Pearl, who isn't just answering questions about he isn't only being asked questions about Tahad Pettiford and Philip
Jovich. No, but I mean, he worried about running the team before he's worried about running for office, I think. but speaking of running, I think we mentioned it a while ago. This team, this collection of players, looks like it should be an up-tempo. This is going to be more like the style that we saw from Bruce Pearl before Jani made it to campus.
And that's why it feels like the depth is so important. Yep. It's not just about what you have in the starting lineup. If you want to play Bruce Pearl's pace on both ends of the floor, you can't just do it with five or six players.
No, you need to
do it with backups.
At least eight.
Backups contributing.
Yep.
And you don't want a huge drop-off between your starters and your backups, because then it becomes tougher to pull the starters off the floor. The minutes you get at the point guard position when Tahad isn't out there are going to be really interesting. You know, it feels like Magwood would be your most likely candidate. But we'll see. I think Bashir or even, I mean, we didn't really talk about Freeman. Be huge, you know, right? Like a gigantic.
Yeah, no kidding.
But folks are really excited about his explosiveness and his skill set. I don't know. I mean, you've had guys like Freeman, and even that. I mean, I guess if you're gonna play that game, Keyshawn Hall, right, would be like a guy where it's like he's got running the offense.
Well, those guys and Bashir.
Exactly. Having the they don't fit the conventional point guard mold,
no,
and they're very different than Tahad, but the idea of being the lead ball handler.
Yeah, if you're good enough, I mean, if they're good enough ball handlers, they've got an advantage with that height at the top.
Right, and that's sort of, like, I don't think Denver saw himself in the point guard role entering his first year at Auburn, and he sort of grew into it as a reliable ball handler in the half court and ended up being really important. That you could get those minutes from Denver at the point guard spot, but no, if you want to play at that pace, Bill, then the minutes you get beyond the Keyshawns, you know, talking about like who else can play in the front court. You've got an international freshman. You've got Sebastian.
Yeah, it feels
you've
like got more questions there in the front.
Sure, and seeing what and that's assuming Keyshawn Hall is mostly a four,
right?
Right, like if he slides now, I would think if he slides over, It's a suggestion that one of those other guys is ahead of schedule. Like if Jovich
slides to the three,
if you can play Keyshawn Hall anywhere but the four or the five, right? If you can slide Keyshawn Hall down to
If he's playing at the three, then boy, you've got some guys that are really scrambling to try to get minutes
at the two and the three,
at the wings,
right?
Oh,
but
yeah,
but there are folks who think Keyshawn Hall, you know, can and might, you know, play. Well, we hear about talking about the three and
maybe,
the four.
You know, and you were talking about it a while ago, and we've talked about it a few times. The difference in the three and the four, it's been rare for Bruce teams to have guys that play the three and the four. Well, maybe there might be a little change in there where that might become easier to do if you're playing a more five out type game.
Well, maybe Hall or Freeman have the skill set that sort of requires, like, maybe the best way to use them is a combination of the two. We wondered that about Jalen,
right,
at times, right, where it's like, boy, because he can
create some mismatches at the three if he's good enough defensively.
And if you can run Jalen at the three with real guys at the four and the five, you've got Jurassic Park out there, right? Like, you could have a gigantic, and I think that's also true of Keyshawn Hall. Like, if you feel good about Keyshawn Hall at the three and then two of the other front court options at the four and the five, and you think that team can go, boy, it's a matchup problem for a lot of teams to deal with that kind of size playing at Auburn's pace. Like, the thought of you're gonna go Keyshawn, Emeka out there at the three, the four, and the five. It's a tough matchup for teams that, because if you want to run, you might go smaller, and the thought of
Keyshawn and Philippe,
exactly, or Sebastian.
Does he run? Have you watch a little of his film? He can get up and down the court.
Keyshawn, Sebastian, Keyshawn, right?
Yeah, there are quite a few.
I mean, Sebastian's probably a four. I mean, but like, if you could play Hall at the three and Murphy at the five. Maybe that's where he slides. And I know. I said a little bit at the end of the last hour, but I know some folks who think Sebastian is ahead of schedule and maybe someone who can play a little bit as a true freshman, especially if Auburn has
a need. You know what it is? It's almost to the point now where I think a lot of folks just feel like if you're not a projected NBA pick next year, if you're not a may not be a lottery pick, but if you're not a top 50 player coming out of high school, well, then you're probably not going to play much because you've got so many transfers and things coming in. Man, that sort of knocks a lot of very talented players who will deserve and will get playing time out of the picture.
Tough to play at the SEC level if you're not that kind of high schooler. I'd say
there's some guys who are top 100 or top 150 players that are actually better than people, you know, they're better than their ranking.
Oh, no, they're coming in. Absolutely, there are freshmen who surprise people. We were just talking about the Zakai Ziegler lawsuit, right? Like, the Zakai Ziegler story, which doesn't happen all that often anymore, but the fact that a guy can be like an unknown as a prospect, he's off the board, goes to the Peach Jam, and has an unbelievable couple of days against guys that everybody was scouting, and goes from being an unknown to a guy with a Tennessee offer in about 48 hours, and then has that career at Tennessee.
And then is one of the has so many records in the Tennessee record book now.
Exactly. Like these things can still happen. It's not, you know, there's
but Sebastian was not like an unknown.
I mean, he was not
like a here's a guy we're going to reach for and hope we can turn him, you know, hope he's that we can turn him into something as a developmental player.
No, it's not like a Cinderella story of a guy, you know, suddenly earning that SEC offer when no one thought he could or something like that. That's not the story there, but he still could. It's still, you're right. Feels crowded in the front court, but I mean, Tahad coming back is. That's the spark.
What a great situation it is.
That Auburn needed, yeah.
Think about this. If you had, you know, if after San Antonio, all right, we would have been told everybody's going to be gone and you're going to be waiting to hear from Tahad at the NBA draft. Go. Let's see what kind of I think the job that Bruce Pearl and his staff have done in bringing this collection together is phenomenal.
Yeah, and I think it'll be reflected when folks start updating, because this is today was a huge day around college basketball as players made their decisions in advance of tonight's deadline.
Right.
Tahad got, you know, the Auburn gets good news couple other schools around the conference, you know, waiting to hear, or they've received some good news. But I think you'll see updated preseason top 25s, updated projections, and now that Tejada's back, yeah, I would expect Auburn to be one of the top two or three teams in the SEC. I think Florida's going to take a huge jump with Boogie Fland and Alex Condon returning. But I think Auburn, Florida, Arkansas, Kentucky, in some order, is going to be the top four in the conference. And those four all feel like top 15 or so teams to me. And that's a great place to be when you have to replace everyone from a team that went to the Final Four.
All right, we need to get to our first break of hour number two. Pat, hang on. You're up when we come back here on the Wednesday Drive.
The Drive. The Drive. Call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back into The Drive here on this Wednesday. Hour number two of the show brought to you, as usual, by the good folks at the Orthopedic Clinic, East Alabama's go-to center for orthopedic care, with locations in Auburn and Opelika, on the web at orthoclinic.com. And let's get to the Drive hotline, sponsored by Skybar.
Oh, I got... Yar!
I've had this cough thing that every once in a while I just...
Did you choke up thinking about when you fell down in the chair? That's
No, been. No, I hadn't even... That thought hadn't crossed my mind until you just mentioned it then. No, I've had much worse falls than that lately. All right, let's get to the Drive hotline. Pat is up. Hey, Pat.
Hey, guys. How are y'all?
Pretty good.
I think that Ziegler lawsuit is a big deal, because you're not talking about 4 years to play five years to play four. You're talking about 5 years to play five.
You know, and that's something the NCAA has actually been for here over the last 6 months or so. So I don't know.
No, it's not. No, it's not. They've never wanted everyone to get 5 years.
They haven't, but when this lawsuit came up, they have backtracked on that, and that was going to be one of the that was supposed to be one of the concessions that they were going to make as they went on with the lawsuit.
Yeah, but if you can go five to play five, then why don't you have six to play six?
Because
that's the whole point, is that opens
because
up.
Because there are going to be limits at some point, Pat. I know.
I'm just saying, but five to play five doesn't make any sense. Whereas, why not six to play six? I mean, who made five the arbitrary number? That's all I'm saying. But I didn't want to get off on that. I've done that a few times. What I want to talk about was Tejada and our teams. I've been watching the NBA games, and I've been watching the OKC and Indiana. They're the two highest scoring, and they're the best offenses. And they have an offense I think we are basically almost looking like we're going to run. And Florida almost kind of ran it too. You got your point guard, drives on in. You got Halliburton. You got the SGA guy. You got a guy driving on in, and then he's a great finisher, so they have to crash on him. And then you pitch out, and then you got your bigs, your 6'5 to 6'9 guys that are sitting out there on the three-point line. They either take an open three or they fake the shot, and then they drive on by, and then they go to the basket. And they either finish or they pitch it back out for a three. We've got guys that can shoot the three and can drive, and so I think we're setting ourselves up to have a really high scoring offense.
Yeah, there were some, and I think it's probably a mistake to go like I'll go as far back as Steve Nash with this, where I think there were guards who didn't fit the conventional NBA mold of what you needed your point guard to do, but could play at a faster, more wide open at a faster, more wide open speed. Chris Paul, Steph Curry, and then I think it ultimately you saw and the maybe the best example of this would be like what Houston was doing with James Harden. You know, the where it's just over and over again with the high screen and roll and two or three shooters outside, and it's the onus is on somebody to be able to stop that ball handler without committing a foul or without overcommitting the defense and letting the ball handler lob for an alley-oop or throw out to an open three-point shooter. And yeah, I would think there's going to be a lot of that on the menu when you have a team like last year's Auburn team was I think the strength was in the balance and the ability to work to get somebody a great shot. I think this year's team is going to be much more on Tahad to create for mm-hmm. himself or for his teammates.
Yeah, well, I mean, and if you look at our guys, they're all good at driving to the basket, beating their guy, and slashing to the basket. And that's what we didn't have last year. We had 3-point shooters, but really, without besides Tahad and Baker, sometimes we really didn't have anybody just driving to the basket. We were kind of doing picks, and, you know, and screens. To
I think finishing at the rim was a problem in Auburn's losses.
Yeah.
Like, there weren't very many Auburn losses this past year, but in the games, looking for trends in the games that Auburn lost, and looking at things that Bruce Pearl, you know, maybe had on his mind building this roster. Yeah, I think finishing at the rim at times was an adventure for Auburn compared to especially against the best teams they played.
Yeah, because Denver and Miles, I mean, they would go to the basket a lot and they would never finish. I mean, it was really, you know, Baker was one of the only ones that really finished besides Todd. So and that was it. I mean, and otherwise you had Chaney kind of, you know, going down low and just kind of dribbling, banging into him until he could get a shot. And same thing with Janai. I think this team is just slash, go to the basket, slash, and then either finish or pitch. And then that guy takes a shot, or drives to the basket and either finishes or pitches out. And you just keep doing that. That's kind of what Florida was doing for a minute there when they were doing good.
Florida's a good example, because I think there is some. I mean, Tahad was a much bigger recruit and is, I think, seen as a better overall athlete, a guy who could one day play himself into the lottery. But I think Walter Clayton is, I think there's, you know, to look for some of that, you know, in Tahad's game moving forward, and to see the way it worked for Florida this past year. I am still a little, I'm nervous and concerned aren't the right words, but I'm interested to see how the shooting sort of develops at the two and the three. Bashir's a really exciting mm-hmm. piece to add to the team. Overton is a guy. Jason made the observation in hour number one. Like, there's a lot hinging on Overton giving you quality minutes on both ends of the floor, because without them, you're asking players like Freeman and Bashir and Magwood to play a ton of minutes
and be SEC caliber defenders.
Yeah,
which Overton is now, and as Jason was saying, at Drake, he was a good shooter.
Yeah, no, I think it's great. I mean, because I'm just thinking about, I just watched the game last night, and it was the other guy, Pascal Siakam.
Siakam,
he was driving. He was either shooting or driving. I just feel like that's what we're going to be doing this year. I did, but too many of our guys are so similar to Baker last year that they get the ball, they take off to, you know, fake it or drive the basket. They're just great at driving to the basket and finishing. You get give them a little inch and then they get by you. I mean, that's just where I feel like we just got that team, man.
And it could give Tahad a lot of options, right? Which is the other thing. Like, the thought that Tahad's going to be able to, on top of what he can do with his own shot, and I mean, to have folks, you know, compare him to Kyrie Irving at times his freshman year in his ability to get open and create his own shot off the bounce. But then they give him as many options as possible with where to go with the ball. It's just like, you know, to compare across different sports, it's like when you have a mobile quarterback who can make plays himself, and then you give him weapons at receiver at tight end and places he can go with the ball. And sometimes that's, you know, you build really difficult offenses with those pieces.
Yep. I feel great, guys. War Eagle, have a great day.
Appreciate the call, Pat. 334-321-1390. That is the Drive hotline, sponsored by Skybar. You can also text us.
That's right. Drive text box, 334-564-1840. You can text the show. Appreciate Southeastern Industrial Contractors for sponsoring that. They also sponsor the podcast, available wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Go to ESPNAU.com and use the Podcast Center, or go to go to your favorite podcasting platform and search for The Drive with Bill Cameron.
All right, something we talked about at the end of the first hour, and we have a special, just want to let you know, we have a special segment coming up. We'll get to the SEC meetings a little while in just a little while with more of what we were talking with Jason about. But just quickly, it looks like SEC the Southeastern Conference coaches would like the five conference champions to be automatic qualifiers in the playoffs, and they would like 11 at large spots, which is not what the ADs want.
There is, you can call it friction, you can call it a disconnect between what the SEC coaches seem to prefer and what SEC ADs seem to prefer. Talked about it a little bit with Jason. And I
think the SEC coaches want the regular season to mean more.
It feels like
they really do. I mean, the ADs want to have that play-in game where three plays six and four plays five, so you could finish sixth and still get an automatic bid if you win that play-in.
Thought it was also interesting that the coaches voiced a preference to stay at eight conference games.
Yeah, they don't. And the ADs want to go to nine.
That's right.
Sankey wants it to go to nine.
But I believe the ADs want to go to nine with the understanding that the SEC has guaranteed spots in the college football playoff. These sound like two things that are bargaining chips.
Yeah.
If the SEC stays at eight, they maybe, you know, could push back on growing the college football playoff to, you know, from 14 to 16.
And so what did Greg Sankey say to that? Greg Sankey said, the SEC can't guarantee we're going to keep rivalries if you stay at eight. So that's
which is true.
Yes.
What Sankey is
insinuating now, too, is not just Auburn, Georgia or Alabama, Tennessee. He's saying, well, Auburn, Alabama may not be able to play every year if you want to just stay at eight games. So, I mean, it's interesting as the meetings end. It didn't sound like everybody went away really happy or everybody, you know, walking at the same tune of the same whatever.
Yeah, the Heather Dinich and Pete Thamel story. I know we got to take a break and get to Derek Fabian on the other side of this, but the story on ESPN.com talks about let me get some of the interesting quotes about the coaching perspective hints at potential roadblocks for playoff expansion, as their sentiment that other leagues wouldn't want the playoff to grow, especially all the way from 12 to 16, if the SEC doesn't go to a 9-game schedule. What was the other?
They don't want to be playing 9 games if the SEC is the only league that isn't.
Florida AD Scott Strickland said he can't support a 9-game SEC schedule without guaranteed playoff access for the SEC.
Well, they'll guarantee access. But I don't know if they want to guarantee four eight games.
But I think when they talk about guaranteed access for the SEC, they're talking about multiple reserve spots for the SEC. And, yeah, I just I don't know. You know, ultimately, maybe I watch too much Succession, Bill, but ultimately the money's going to win.
Right? I think so too.
The money's going to win here, and I just think that probably means more conference games,
yep,
guaranteed playoff access for the SEC.
Play-in games.
And those play-in games on conference championship Saturday. And I'm
not crazy about that.
Yeah, I wish I had the magic wand to stop it, but I don't think we can stand in the way of this one.
You mentioned we have a special edition of Tiger Takes with Derek Fabian, and we will contact the Auburn shortstop and talk with him when we come back here on the Wednesday Drive.
6-7.
Welcome back into the Wednesday Drive. Bill and Dan here in the studio with Drew at the controls, and we have a special edition of Tiger Takes for you, with the Tigers getting ready to host their regional on Friday evening, as they will host Central Connecticut State while Stetson and NC State play in the opening game. We're pleased to be joined once again by Auburn senior shortstop Derek Fabian. Tiger Takes brought to you by 12K Salon in downtown Auburn. Visit them today at 217 North College Street or book online at 12ksalon.net. Let's welcome Derek Fabian. And Derek, how you doing, man?
I'm doing good. Good to be on a call again.
Oh, yeah, man. It's great. Really exciting. Everybody is really excited just about the regional and the number four seed with the Tigers playing in front of what should be a crazy packed house on Friday night.
Yes, sir. We're looking forward to Friday night just as much as the fans are. You know, we're ready to get back out there. Obviously, haven't, you know, played our best brand of baseball these last 3 to 4 games, and we're ready to get back because we're determined, and we're ready to show off for the fans back at Plainsman Park.
Yeah, well, you know, I hate that I missed the watch party the other day. I was a little under the weather. Didn't want to give anybody anything in case I had something that was contagious.
Probably for the best.
Yeah, that probably was. But really, I mean, how exciting was it when you saw that you guys were the number four national seed?
Yeah, it was surreal. They posted a graphic before the selection show that said the top four seeds, and we were on there along with three other SEC teams.
Right.
And man, it was surreal. Obviously, you know, we've worked so hard throughout the year to earn this spot that we have been given, but we all know that the job's not finished yet. We're looking forward to winning one game at a time and making a deep postseason run.
I asked Andy Burcham in the first hour, you know, this team was picked 12th in the preseason in the SEC by the coaches, and here you guys are the number four national seed in the college baseball postseason. You know, what were the main reasons why this team so drastically outperformed those expectations from outside the program in the preseason? And one of the first things Andy pointed to was the freshmen being as ready for action as they were this year. And what can you say about the contributions that this team has gotten from its from the kids, from the guys playing their first year of college baseball?
Yeah, I feel like every time I talk about Auburn baseball, these three freshmen just keep getting brought up, and rightfully so. You know, you got Chris Rimber, Bub Terrell, and Chase Fralick, along with some of the other pitching arms, but those three stand out in my mind. Those guys show up every day willing to work. They're like sponges, man. They absorb every ounce of information you give them. I know I have had the opportunity to work with Chris Rembert a lot, just being in the infield, mm-hmm. and that dude is each and every day trying to get better, which has, you know, provided him the ability to put on a great freshman season. I'm just really happy for those guys, and they've been a big part of this team.
You know, we were talking, Jason Caldwell was here in the studio with us, and we had Andy Burcham, voice of the Tigers, on at the same time, and we were just talking about the mindset of this team from the top, from Butch Thompson through the players that went through last year's season. It seems like you can almost feel the focus. You've talked about it. I mean, focusing on it, it's such a cliche, one game at a time, that type thing. But this team, I think, has really done a great job of that. When there's been that occasional bad outing, the team seems to bounce back and even seem to go after it even harder the next time out.
Yes, sir. I mean, you know, in this game, there's a bunch of ups and downs, but I attribute our ability to bounce back to our coaching staff. I think we got the best coaching staff in America, and they allow us to realize what we did wrong and then give us solutions right away to improve on what we have done. But yeah, I just think the coaches have put us in the right spot the entire year. And, you know, you can't, obviously we're the players, we play the game, but at the end of the day, the coaches do provide us with a lot of, intel and, you know, things like that. So our coaching staff has been a great piece for us bouncing back after hard times.
Sam Dutton, obviously a huge reason why the team has had this remarkable year. You know, having a reliable player starting on Fridays most of the time in conference play has got to be an enormous boost for this team. What can you say about the season that you've gotten from Sam and just sort of the confidence you guys have in what he's going to give you every time out?
Yeah, I mean, he's obviously been around the block a little bit. We're both four-year guys, so we kind of talk about it all the time. Like, hey, man, you're getting old. And I'm like, nah, I can't take that from him. But no, each and every weekend he rolls out there, it's like, all right, let's go. Like, we know he's going to give us a shot to win the game, you know, and he went on a run there. I felt like he went, like, complete game, 7 innings, 8 innings. Like, he always just ate up innings, you know, to start the weekend, which saved our bullpen arms later in the week. That allowed us to, you know, close out some series. But I just think having a guy like him at the front just, you know, really helped us.
All right. We talked about a little bit about how it felt when you saw you were the number 4 seed. It took a little while. At least you weren't on the right-hand side of the bracket, so it didn't take forever. But it still took a while. When you saw the other teams come up, did you know anything about any of the other 3 teams that are going to be here in the regional?
Yeah, so funny enough, Stetson, obviously at Florida, we played him a bunch. But one of my best friends since I was like 6 years old is a pitcher on Stetson.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's a small world for sure, but we've been, you know, talking back and forth. They just got up here today, so I'm going to try to make my way over to the team hotel, say what's up to them. Haven't seen them in forever, it feels like. But, you know, all these teams are good. To get into the postseason, you have to play some kind of good baseball. And, you know, that's from the number one ranked team to all the way to the 64th team that got in. So, you know, obviously it's not going to be easy. But, you know, we're going to take it one game at a time because each game we play is going to be against a good opponent.
Yeah, the opening game is against Central Connecticut State. They're a team that a lot of folks, you know, didn't expect to get into the postseason. They win their tournament, get that automatic bye. They've got some really impressive batting numbers. They've got a kid hitting .458. The team is a .330 hitting team. As a team, they're hitting .330, and they don't strike out very much. So they're going to put the ball in play, and that's going to then put a lot on what has been a strong point, I think, for Auburn this year, and that's the defense.
Yeah, I think, you know, we talk about it all the time in the locker room, around the field, just how do you, you know, put teams away when things are going your way. Is, you know, you make the routine play and you don't give them an extra life. So I think we've taken that to heart. I know Coach Nonemaker and Coach Gross really harp on the defensive side of the ball and how we need to make the routine plays and get the outs when they give them to us. So, you know, for instance, if they give us, they're in a bunt situation, they bunt, we got to get an out somewhere. Just playing defense the right way and holding it down will, you know, obviously keep us ahead in the game.
You guys played a pretty tough schedule this season outside of the SEC. You know, an ambitious schedule with some high quality mid-major programs on it. And I wonder if that experience, you know, helps you guys when you face a conference champion from a league that you don't see very often, like the Blue Devils.
Yeah, I mean, I think every game we play this year has taught us something. You know, we got some good quality wins over Georgia Tech and Troy are the first two that come to mind on the midweek side of things. You know, those are games you have to win just to give yourself the ability to host in the postseason. And going into this, it's like a midweek because it's a team we normally wouldn't play on a regular weekend. But you know, moving forward, we're just trying to win one game at a time.
And it all gets started Friday night. Should be a great atmosphere there. Hey, even with the expanded stadium this year, there is extra seating that is going to be available for this weekend. I think 500 extra student seats there in the outfield, and there's going to be additional seating up in the near the terrace level. So, I mean, it should be packed and should be a huge Auburn crowd that's really psyched for this weekend.
Yeah, we showed up to the park on I think it was Monday, and they took the fence down out behind the terrace spots, and we were looking, we were like, what are they doing? Kind of find out they're adding more seats, so we're excited to get in front of a lot of rowdy fans at Plainsman Park and rooting us on, so we're excited.
Yeah, hopefully so. Hopefully you're just playing it in the evening for the next for the next few nights. And then able to move on. But again, got to get it all started with Central Connecticut State.
Yes, sir. We're looking forward to the night games and playing some part, just because, you know, every time you play a night game, it's something special. But, you know, we're focused on our first game, and then we'll roll with the punches after that.
Well, that's great. Great we got a chance to talk to you again, Derek. Hey, hopefully... Hopefully, we're doing it again next week before a super regional.
Yeah, congratulations on a remarkable season, and like Bill said, hopefully we're not done doing these things, man.
Yes, sir. Well, I appreciate it, and you know, I'll see y'all next week.
All right, take care, Derek.
Yes, sir. Thank you,
Derek Fabian, joining us once again for Tiger Takes here on The Drive, brought to you by 12K Salon in downtown Auburn.
He's been fantastic all season long.
Yes,
he has. Big thanks to Derek Fabian, and like you said, hopefully we're not done with these things. Big thanks to 12K Salon for setting it up.
Yes, indeed. Call to book your next appointment, 334-209-2900. We'll get to our final break. Stick with us here on the Wednesday Drive.